Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. A quickie episode this time because something interesting happened last week. Suppose they held an L.A. comic book convention without any paying customers. Well, that's what kind of happened on a shoot for the CBS television series Numbers. The episode in question that airs November 23rd revolves around some action at a comic book convention, so word went out for creators to show up and go through the motions of a real show. There were some familiar names among the creators and guest stars for the shoot, and I got all the lowdown from one of the participants, artist Tony Fleece, who you might have heard on one of the Word Balloon episodes a couple weeks ago about the future of graphic novels. We also had Tony as an individual guest last year, and he writes and draws his indie comic In My Lifetime, and also has a story in the Villard book Postcards, True Stories That Never Happened. So instead of wasting time with me giving any more build-up, let's get right to the interview with Tony Fleece here on Word Balloon. So, Tony, you live in L.A., and I guess everybody, if you live in L.A. for a couple minutes, you're going to wind up in TV or in movies or whatever, and you did this episode of Numbers. Tell me about it.
I only got on Numbers because I draw a comic book. So it was one of those weird things where, like, if I had been trying to get on a TV show not drawing a comic book, I probably wouldn't have got in because I saw the rest of the extras, and they were all pretty attractive people, like, definitely better looking than me.
Was it a better looking comic book supposedly convention crowd than in reality?
It sort of was. I would say it was like 70% better looking than regular Comic-Con attendees. But Comic-Con attendees are like better looking nowadays. Like just in the couple of years that I've been going, I've noticed that like the quality of people is getting sort of moving farther away from like the old school nerd stereotype into just like regular people.
Did they also have those some extras that definitely came as nerds or whatever, or really wanted to like nerd it up?
I think that's what we were there for. I think they brought in the comic book artists just so they would have people that looked like they were supposed to be there.
So
looking around, it was me and like Tone Rodriguez and some of the other guys that stood out. It's like, oh, these guys are definitely here for Comic-Con.
Well, did they tell you anything about the story around the scene, or was it just, as far as you're concerned, this is just a convention, do what you normally do? What'd they tell you to do?
Well, leading up to it, the reason we were all there in general was because we had gotten in touch with this lady, Catherine, who runs the production design. I don't know if she runs it or if she's just in charge of something over there, but she was putting together this convention.
Okay.
And so, I had heard about it on the Jinx World message boards, and some of the other people had heard of it from the Comic Arts Professionals Society, CAPS.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got in touch with her, and she needed artwork so that they could decorate this place so it would look like a Comic-Con. And I sent her a disc, and I like met up with her and gave her a poster and some stuff so she could put up some artwork. And then she was like, they're putting on this con, and if you guys want to come down and basically play yourselves, we're going to have setups, and then you can sit at a table and act like you're there selling comics. And so that's all they told us. And we got there on the day, and then we started to realize what was going on.
Well, what were some of the bigger companies that were there this is a good opportunity, not only for independent creators, but really if, you know, one of the publishers, really, this is a nice little, you know, kind of subliminal advertisement.
Yeah, there was a lot of Top Cow
stuff
out there, because Top Cow's L.A., and so they had gotten a lot of their books and some of their posters and stuff like that. And Wizards of the Coast was out there, of course, because there's a convention. Wizards of the Coast is going to be there, and I think some of the people from Wizards of the Coast were there, too. I didn't meet them.
You mentioned Tone Rodriguez. Who were some of the other names that were there?
The big one that was there was Dan Brereton.
That's cool.
He had done like the logo for the fake convention. It was called AltCon.
Okay.
And so that he made like two logos that they made. It looked like the San Diego Comic-Con sort of logo with the square and a character in it.
Okay.
But it's all Breton looking, so it's cool.
Did he have his big Nocturnal setup and everything?
Yeah, he had that huge banner from Comic-Con, and that was sort of hanging up outside, and it took up a lot of room. And then they had printed up more huge banners. It was basically like BretonCon.
That's good for Dan.
There was just huge, enormous Nocturnal banners. Everywhere you looked, every scene, there's just all kinds of Breton artwork all over the place. It was really cool.
Very nice.
So he was down there, and then Dean Yeagle, who does Mandy in Playboy.
Okay, sure.
And he's also an animator. He was there, and he was sitting with Russ Heath.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah, to the War Comics. I fucking wanted to talk to Russ Heath, but he didn't seem too interested in talking to me. I just sort of sat down at his table a couple times when we were having lunch or whatever. Him and Dean Yeagle would tell back and forth jokes.
Wow.
So he would tell like old guy style jokes.
He's a Chicago guy. I didn't know he was in L.A. Yeah, because you know, for years he had been doing his work in Chicago.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about like where he'd come from or what he was doing out here. But then just today, I looked him up on Wikipedia just to make sure I hadn't missed anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew the 132 Roman soldiers advertisement, where you send 225 to New York, and they send you 132 Roman soldiers. And I wish I'd known about it before this thing, because I could have told him that like 5 years ago we pulled one of those heads out of like an old comic and sent it off in the hopes that they would send us this 132 Roman soldiers. But apparently the place is out of business.
Gee, go figure. You know, 9/11 wrecked a lot of businesses, Tone, and I'm sure that was one of the first things to go.
It was rough on everybody. It was rough on me when I had to get that $225 money order back in the mail.
I'm sorry, man. I hate to burst your bubble.
I got to go through the rest of this list of my fellow peeps and creators. Steve Earnhardt does Hard Bullied Comics. Do you know that book?
Hard Boiled Comics?
It was Hard Boiled Comics, and then Miller stepped in and
made him change it?
Cease and desist on him. But now it's called Hard Bullied Comics. It's like crime noir comics in the future with monsters and stuff. He gave me the trade. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But that guy totally kicked ass. Like, it was me and him at a table. It was In My Lifetime and Hard Bullied Comics sort of splitting the table, and we were sort of right there in the middle of where all the action was. And they printed up like a big poster on like foam core for my book, and they'd done all kinds of banners for his book and stuff. They treated everybody that came in sort of like everybody was a big deal.
Excellent, man.
When clearly none of us, for the most part, were big deals. It's kind of like an alternate universe. You know, AltCon's kind of a fitting name because it was like you're at this convention where Dan Brereton is the Jack Kirby of this universe.
There you go.
And Tone was there. And, you know, Tone did the UTF book, and he's doing stuff for The Simpsons now. And he did Escape from, you know, the Snake Plissken Chronicles.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. This is the Plissken Chronicles. Is he involved with the Luchadora book?
He might well be. He's always doing something, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like
Tone. I run into him with a lot of L.A. stuff out here, and he's always fucking working on something different.
Very cool.
Anthony Zhu is an animator. He did storyboards for, like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Sky Captain.
Wow.
And he was sitting at a table with this guy, Mike Oshinker, who does El Gato.
Okay.
Which is not Sonambulo, but is a Mexican wrestler. Comic.
Very cool.
And then Steve Wyatt was there, who puts on the Supercons.
Yes.
And he also drew a book called Doom Galaxy. But he was there, and he provided all the like background long boxes and lots of the... he also does like comic framing, so he provided a lot of cool-looking original art.
Very cool.
And at the end of the shoot, he provided me with a copy of the Treasury Edition, Jack Kirby's 2001.
Outstanding. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember where that came out.
For him.
Are there other creators, or are we...
That's it? You want to go on to the cast?
Well, now I'm curious about the cast. Yeah, so was Rob Morrow there?
Morrow was there, like, in the evening. It was 2 days. It was Wednesday and Thursday.
Well,
he was there in the evening.
I imagine it was all day, both days.
Yeah, it was, like, 14-hour days.
Wow.
Both days. First day was a 7:30 in the morning call. And I managed to sleep in for it and get there around 8 o'clock. And when I got there, like, I'm you know, panicking. And it's like I'm showing up at a convention because I got my big box of books and all my shit. And I talk to a security guy when I'm getting out of my car. And I'm like, hey, where's the wardrobe? Because I got to check into this thing. And he's like, well, what time is your call? I'm like, yeah, 7:30. And he just looked at me like, oh, this guy's fucked. He just goes, good luck, buddy. And so I go up there. But apparently because we were the comic artists, like, we were not treated like stars, but amongst the extras, we were like the extra stars.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so we got to like eat with the actors and the crew and stuff and get the special food.
What kind of superfood did they offer?
First day, there was like steak and shrimp and all kinds of, it was just like the food in the extras area looked great to me because
okay.
I don't know how to cook or anything. So I saw food and I was like, this food is free? That's incredible. And then the second AD was like, you guys can go back here. And I went back in the back and holy shit. Yeah, the second day I had three different kinds of meat on one plate.
So it was a successful day, basically, is what you're telling me, because you got three
there
meats.
Was prime rib and barbecue chicken and fish. There were artichoke hearts for some reason. Yeah. But yeah, so Mauro was there the first day.
Cool.
And the guy who's on that show, who was in that movie where Julia Stiles dances.
Yes, Save the Last Dance. It was just on the other day.
There you go.
Okay. I know Judd Hirsch, I know Rob Mauro, and I know the kid. And I don't even know the kid's name.
David, name is David.
Okay.
But, well, so the guest star was Will Wheaton.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, what I thought was really cool. When we first walked in, I was sort of setting up my table there doing walkthroughs, and I saw this guy, a skinny guy in a suit, walk up, and I was like, well, that must be the like the stand-in for Mauro or whoever. And then when he got closer, I was like, holy shit, that's Will Wheaton right there. That's incredible. And so he was playing like a Todd McFarlane-style character, somebody that started out in comics drawing.
Oh, and is now an impresario.
Yeah, and then he sort of made a character that could be sold to video games and movies and made a fortune, and now he buys ridiculous shit with his money.
Very cool. Alimi Ballard, by the way, would be the actor we were trying to identify, I believe.
And what's the younger guy's name? David Krumholtz?
Yes, David Krumholtz. Very good.
Boom.
Shotgun.
He was there. Krumholtz was like the main guy that they kept sending out to the convention to find stuff out.
Did any of the creators get any lines, any cameos where, they had scenes?
It was more books getting cameos.
Okay.
We were all sort of background and we'd be in there. And actually, Steve, who does the Hard Bullied, used to be Hard Boiled Comics, got to be like a guy that was arguing. Basically, Will Wheaton's character buys this important comic that's like, it's like if they had an Ashcan edition of Fantastic Four number one.
Okay.
And somehow it wasn't destroyed, and so it's like the most rare thing in the world. He's fighting over a copy of that with somebody. And then there's some shots where, like, when you're an extra, being featured is different than when you're like a day player being featured, where you get to say something. If you're an extra who gets featured, it's like you get to stand behind Rob Mauro here.
Right.
So some of us got to do that sort of thing.
Very cool. Did you
shots would start out with like us in the foreground, and then they pull back to reveal somebody else.
So, who of the actors did you get a chance to talk to?
I got to talk to Wheaton real briefly. He came over, and because, like I said, our table that they set up was right where all the action was. And so, in between shots, he came over and sat down for a while, and he was reading a copy of the We Three trade paperback.
Oh, terrific! Funny.
And so, Steve started talking to him about that, and then we got to going. I guess he knows Warren Ellis. So I didn't say too much to him besides he had mentioned that he knew some people over at Boom Studios.
Oh, cool.
And I know some people over at Boom Studios, so I asked him who he knew over there, and we got to talking a little bit about Warren Ellis' stuff and how much we're both liking the new Avatar books.
Very cool.
And then me and Steve both gave him copies of our books just in case.
Sure.
Just in case he won't be, because the guy reads comics, he might enjoy reading our comics. He's doing stuff for Tokyo Pop.
Will is.
Right now.
Wow, that's cool. There you go. Good scoop. Nice going.
Yeah.
Matt Brady appreciates that. Very good.
All the other interactions I had with the actors was them standing real close to me and then me just having to say, hey, because I don't know what to say to people. Otherwise, like that Krumholtz guy was in that movie, Life with Mikey,
mm-hmm.
Michael J. Fox movie.
Yes.
And he's in a scene in that movie where he has to eat the cereal for a commercial shoot.
Okay.
And then he has to keep spitting out the cereal. And he's screaming for somebody to get the director over there because he's tired of eating the cereal, and he's got cereal in his mouth, and he spits it out, and he's like, Jesus, how many times am I going to have to do this? What am I, Job? For some reason, every time I'd see that guy, that's what would go through my head, like not everything he's done since then, like he's been in all the Judd Apatow shows and shit like that.
Yes.
All I can think of is fucking Life with Mike.
So did you tell him that?
I did not tell him that. He's a real solid guy, though. He came up and talked to Steve that puts on the Supercon.
Very cool.
Wow, because him and Brereton is apparently a big numbers fan. So him and Steve and this Krumholtz guy talked numbers for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
Because the show, like, apparently they make their budget work for them. They do a lot of big-looking stuff with not a huge budget.
Oh, that's great.
And like I say, I haven't seen it since, like, the first year, but the just the con setup that we were in is mm-hmm. fucking amazing.
Yeah, I was going to ask
how... exactly like Comic-Con.
That's cool, because, I think back to Entourage when they did that San Diego episode, and it's like it didn't really look like Comic-Con, but you say this one, they really...
Yeah, I mean...
And how big was the space?
It was about the size of a hotel ballroom. They had it tricked out with, like, there's a big main, like the central booths, what would be like the Marvel booth or something, and then around it are the, like, the vendors. So it was sort of just like a condensed version of Comic-Con. It looked like exactly authentic. Nobody had lanyards, though. So the keen eye will realize that these people are just walking around unchecked in there, maybe not have even having paid admission.
Very cool, man. Well, and when is the episode going to air? Like, it's going to be during sweeps, isn't it? Like, just a couple weeks?
It's November 23rd.
There you go.
It's going to be, like, their Thanksgiving episode.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like it should be pretty cool.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. And that's we'll be looking for the signage of In My Lifetime from Tony Fleece in an episode of Numbers.
Keep your eyes peeled for that. I don't know how much play I ended up getting, but I was always there acting along with all the other extras. Sometimes the camera would be right next to me, and I'm like, there's no way I'm in this shot unless they're shooting panorama. But I would still react along just in case they, you know, did some of the shaky cam.
Was anyone dressed as, and again, they obviously can't use the big license characters or else, you know, Time Warner and Marvel would want cuts, but did people dress as heroes or warriors or anything like that?
Yeah, they had some Conans in there and, like not Conan specifically, but, you know, some barbarians.
Sure.
And some people in, like, strange winged costumes and a lot of girls in weird, what would look like manga costumes.
Okay.
But it's a Paramount show, so they had a lot of, like, Star Trek.
Oh, there you go.
There's a lot of TNG outfits in there and a lot of Vulcaneers, and there were some, excuse me while I nerd out for a second, there were some Romulans in the house. There were some Bajorans as well.
Very cool. Well, and obviously you want to play that up with Will Wheaton obviously being there, so there's got to be some sort of cute little walk-by or whatever of a couple Vulcans where you do the double take.
Hey! Where they look at him like E.T. and Yoda and E.T.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, so they had a lot of Star Trek there. And then there was a contest winner girl who they brought in on the second day and was like, this is our contest winner. And she was dressed. She had, like, the horror outfit on. And I was like, man, they're going to get her into something. But I think I didn't see what they ended up doing with her, but I think they just brought her in to be more background. So, like, that's some kind of prize where you get to do for free what I got paid, you know, $60 to do. I don't know. I'm sure I'm breaching my confidentiality.
All right, yeah.
They never had me sign.
I don't want to. Oh, you didn't have to sign anything?
No, I didn't have to sign anything.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, this is great.
Wheaton's already been blogging it up, so I think, you know, they're going to let Wheaton get away with it. They might as well let comic book artist number 4.
Is that your billing?
I sure hope so. I don't know if I'll get billing. I doubt it.
I want that in the credits, man. I'm going to have to, like, freeze frame the credits. Comic book artist number 4, Tony Fleece.
Dan Britton is Dan Britton, and Russ Heath is Russ Heath, and comic book artist number 4 played by Tony Fleece.
I like that a lot. That's excellent, man.
Okay, all right.
Well, thank you. So November 23rd, Friday night, and it's like 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, correct?
I believe you seem to sound like you know what you're talking about.
You know, I try, so I think that's right.
Yeah, I just knew the 23rd, and I guess it's on 10 o'clock out here, so.
There you go. Check your local list.
The rest sounds great.
All right.
So what is that? Are we done?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. This was great.
You don't want to, you want to supper flub a little bit? You want to play around?
You want to supper flub? Okay.
Thanks for calling.
So that's it. Of course, you'll want to watch the episode. That's Numbers on CBS, November 23rd. And again, that's 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Central and Mountain Time. That'll do it for this episode of Word Balloon. Thanks again for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, you can find Word Balloon all over the internet. We're at Newsarama.com. Of course, our MySpace page, MySpace.com/WordBalloon. Our Comic Space page, ComicSpace.com/WordBalloon. If you'd like to email me, John@WordBalloon.com. Feel free, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have or any comments about the show. Be sure to join us next time for another full-length episode. B. Clay Moore is coming up later this week, so you'll want to check him out. Until then, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2007.